Turn in your Bibles today, please, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and I'd like to take the privilege to read verses 37 through 40 today for the message. Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40. The Bible says, "And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of Mount of Olives, a whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answering and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. But I want you to notice, especially verse number 38, which incidentally is the text for my message thought today. Notice what it says. Blessed be the King. Blessed be the King. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for your loving kindness, your goodness to us. We thank you for the privilege today to again be able to stand here and to again open the Word of God. We thank you for the kindness, the graciousness, the love on the part of our church. We love them, Lord, especially. Likewise, ourselves. And now, Father, today, I pray your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, today. May the message be a blessing and a help. And our Father today, if there's someone here that's never met the Master, never been saved, may today be that glorious day of that glorious experience. Speak to hearts and help us today, our Father, to focus upon the great King. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Blessed be the King. That's my thought today. Blessed be the King. We all recognize who the King is. We realize that we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We just celebrated Easter, and the focus was upon the resurrection of the Savior. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem occurred a week before his crucifixion, and of course that's the context of what I've read to you here this morning. At this time, he is praised. He's acknowledged as the King. He's extolled. The people are saying, Blessed be the King that cometh. Of course, it wouldn't be long till those same words would be shifted. They'd be saying, Crucify him, crucify him. You know, the Bible recognizes the fact that Jesus Christ fulfills three basic titles. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. Someone has said as prophet, he said enough. As priest, he does enough. And as king, he has power enough. His kingship was acknowledged at his birth. We know that when Jesus was born, the wise men said, Where is he that is born king of Israel? Here the disciples said, Blessed be the King that cometh. This king was a conquering king. We know that in just a few days, this king would go to the cross. This king would bleed, suffer, and die. This king would conquer death, hell, and the grave. This king would take care of the sin debt. This king is a conquering king. This same king that I'm talking about this morning will one day rule. This same king will one day sit upon the throne. This same king one day will take care of earth's problems. You and I are living in a world today that's bathed in problems. Nothing but chaos and confusion. But thank God, blessed be the King that's coming. This king is coming. As sure as I stand here this morning preaching, I'm sure he's coming. I believe he's coming on schedule. I believe he's coming at any moment. This same king who came the first time and provided redemption, thank God, is coming the second time and the church will be taken out, and he'll rule upon this earth later on. Blessed be the King. You know, Easter, as a holiday is over, as far as a holiday aspect, Peter Cottontail is back in the bush now, back in the brush pile, for another year. And I'm sure Peter Cottontail made a lot of money for Walmart. But you know what, though? Easter is really about the victory of the King.
Amen.
It's about victory. The Easter message is an Easter victory. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Thank God today we're here in this church service because he's risen. He's risen. Easter is celebrated every day. Every single day. We could call every day Easter Sunday. Every day is a celebration of the victory of the King. He is risen and he will reign. The empty tomb impacts every day. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. It's an Easter Sunday celebration. Every sermon is an Easter sermon, for the gospel message concerns the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's an Easter sermon. Life itself says Jesus is alive. Life itself says Jesus is alive. The new life of springtime says Jesus is alive. Don't you love springtime? Don't you love to see now the flowers sticking their heads above the sod? Don't you love to hear the birds now singing? Robins preparing to build their nests and to have their little ones. Don't you love springtime? Springtime says Christ is alive. I'll tell you, as that seed of grain is placed in the ground, you can take a dry, dead tulip bulb, you put that in the ground and sod in fall of year, and isn't it amazing how in springtime, that thing that looked like it was dead and dull, my friend, up from the earth will come that beautiful tulip. I'll tell you, the principle of life itself is testimony of the fact that Jesus is alive. The new birth of springtime says Jesus is alive. The new birth of a sinner says Jesus is alive. The new hope of a saint says Jesus is alive. Your faces today, as I look into your faces, I see the countenance of joy because I'm looking into the face of God's people. You realize this morning, if there's any question about the fact that Christ is risen, look at your own testimony. Because you understand today, the salvation of a sinner is a spiritual resurrection that's already taken place. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. The resurrection of a child of God spiritually says one day we will be resurrected physically. But again, come back now to the text. Blessed be the King. Let me spend a little bit of time talking about that. Blessed be the King. This morning, it's a thrilling experience to know Him as King. It's a thrilling experience to have Him to reign over our lives. I'm so thankful to God that one time the reins of leadership were turned over from the devil and turned over to Christ in my own life. Heard Brother Glenn say this morning, he's about to celebrate his 40th birthday. Spiritual birthday, right, Brother Glenn? Brother Glenn got saved in November of 1978, he said this morning. Brother Glenn, I'm 10 years older than you. I got saved in November of 1968. Now, y'all can tell by looking at me, I'm only 10 years older than you. You know, when a person gets saved, the reign of ownership is turned over from the devil and turned over to the Lord, to the King. But here now, let's get back to my thought. Blessed be the King. Let me present it to you this way. Blessed be the perfect King. He's a perfect King. Oh, yes, He is. Blessed be the perfect King. It has never been said of an earthly human being that they're perfect because they're sinners. No earthly ruler has ever been perfect. But I'll tell you, this King is perfect. He's a perfect King. His rulership is perfect. He can make no mistakes. He's God Himself. There is no sin within Him. He never did any sin. He never knew any sin because He's God. Blessed be the perfect King. Somebody one time was jokingly talking about perfection. And here's how they put it. They said, I'm a nobody. Nobody is perfect. Therefore, I'm perfect. What do you think about that logic? Not too good logic, though, is it? Then somebody one time said, we are perfect in our imperfections. And oh, how true that is. Blessed be the perfect King. This earth, by the way, is destined at last to have a perfect government because the King of the universe will be in control. There will no longer be any corruption in high places and incompetent leadership. The Bible says, in righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, in faithfulness the girdle of His reins. World governments today, as we well know, are led by flawed human leaders. None are capable of perfect leadership because all are human. The history of human civilization is a history of failure. For no government is stable while sin abounds in the human heart. Our real hope today is not in the agendas of the Democratic or the Republican Party, but in a coming King whose girdle is righteousness and faithfulness. Our hope today does not rest upon the ability, the political abilities of the people that govern us out of Washington. Our hope today is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is in the One who is a perfect King. Our hope is in the One who came the first time to be Savior, but He's coming the next time and He'll be King. There's coming a time there'll no longer be uninformed and uneducated voters deciding the political destiny of nations. For the supreme ruler of heaven and earth will govern this earth. The time is coming that this world of ours, thank God, will no longer be ravaged by war, run by corrupt politicians, ruined by debt, and rampaged by violence brought on by sin. The perfect King will rule. I say today, blessed be the King. Blessed be the perfect King. I've lived now a number of years. I've seen several presidents in our country, men that have been placed upon given the mantle of the political leadership of our country. In my honest opinion, I would say some have done a better job than others. In my honest opinion, I would say that some of our presidents I preferred much better than other ones. I had more confidence in their leadership and in their ability and the direction they were taking us. I could honestly say that, and I'm sure you can too. But let's get beyond that. You can place the most educated, the most influential, the most capable person you can find and place them in the office of the presidency of the United States, but my friend, you'll still have an imperfect individual. You'll have someone who's not totally competent because we're human. But thank God, blessed be the perfect King. The one who is totally perfect. The one who can make no mistakes. The one who knows what we need the most. And let me carry this down to an individual level. A sinner's greatest need is Christ. A sinner's greatest need is Jesus Christ. Could I tell you today about the one who's not only the perfect King, but the perfect Savior? He can save you to the uttermost. He can take care of your sin problem. He can put peace in your heart and in your life. He can give you new direction. He can restore your mind. He can give you something worth living for. He can take a life that's ruined and lost and hopeless and put within your life meaning and purpose and care and grace. He's a perfect King, but He's a perfect Savior. I found that to be true about 50 years ago. Many of you have found that to be true in recent years. But blessed be the King that cometh. Blessed be the perfect King. Secondly, I say this, blessed be not only the perfect King, but blessed be the preeminent King. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-powerful. He is the omnipresent God. Let's go back to this context here. Jesus sent those disciples out. He said, go into a certain place. He said, you'll find a colt tied. He said, loose that colt and bring him to me. He knew where that colt was. He'd have to know he's God. He knew where that colt was tied. And so the disciples went. They found that colt that was tied. And by the way, read it out. You'll find that that colt was unbroken. No man had ever sat on that colt's back. That was an unbroken colt. But that colt was ready to be the one to carry its Lord, its Creator. That colt yielded. I mean, now, you know, I don't know anything about breaking horses. In fact, I never was much in riding horses, period. I've had a few to throw me. I'd never make it in the state of Texas. Cheryl, thank God I wasn't born in the 1800s where I had to ride a horse to get where I went, and I'd be walking. But I know this. I know that horses have to be broken. But now here's a colt that's tied, that no one has ever ridden it. But I'll tell you, that colt let the Savior ride on its back. Like that colt had known that Savior all of the time. There was no issue. Now why, you ask? I'll tell you why. That colt knew its Creator. That's hard to explain. But that colt yielded. When Jesus climbed on its back. Blessed be the preeminent King. He's the Master. He's a master of the universe. And here's something that I find rather strange. When you stop and think about, look at that colt, a dumb animal. That dumb animal yielded to the Lord's control. And you've got multitudes of people today with their senses, with their minds, that are unyielded to the Master. Isn't it amazing how an animal will yield to the will of God? And you've got people on a daily basis rejecting God, pushing Him out of their lives, not yielding to His control, not yielding to His authority. But the colt did. Blessed be the preeminent King. The King's coronation would be followed by the King's crucifixion. Just a week later, this one that they said, blessed be the King, would be hanging on a cross. Pilate, by the way, you remember this. Pilate wrote the title King of the Jews. He had it affixed on the cross above the dying Savior. And my friend, the title was correct. But here's the thing the disciples did not realize. There would be no kingdom before the cross. The cross had to precede the kingdom. Jesus had to die. The cross was inevitable. Christ had to die. There's no way he could bypass it. And let me say this morning, there's no way a person will ever go to heaven bypassing the cross. The cross was a part of God's program. Jesus said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." But now my thought, blessed be the perfect King. Blessed be the preeminent King. And then thirdly, blessed be the prevailing King. The prevailing King. This King would soon fight and win the greatest battle of the ages and prevail. This King would conquer the greatest enemy of mankind. This King would bruise the serpent's head. You remember now, in the Garden of Eden, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This King would bruise the serpent's head. This King, upon that cross, would prevail. This King would say, "It's finished. It's finished." Only one word in the ancient language, tetelestai, it's finished. Three words in the English, but one word in the Greek. But my, what a word of victory. It's finished. Thank God the great transaction's been done. It's finished. The sin debt has been paid. It's finished. God has accepted the provision of His Son in our stead. It's finished. We know He satisfied the Father's righteous demands by being the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Blessed be the prevailing King. I'm glad He prevailed. I'm glad He won. Christian, you and I serve a winner. He won. I wouldn't want to serve a loser. Thank God I'm serving the winner, aren't you? He won. He prevailed. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He prevailed. Jesus prevailed on Calvary. Jesus took care of our sin debt. You look at yourself this morning and you're thinking, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." Yes, you are. So am I. You're thinking this morning, "What can God do for me?" You're thinking, "Preacher, you don't know how far in sin I am or what I've done. I don't know that and I don't want to know that. But I know one thing, and I'm glad I can tell you this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I can tell you this morning, regardless of how far the devil has taken you, Jesus Christ can bail you out. He prevailed. Jesus died on that cross. It was not the death of someone, of a conquered martyr. No, my friend, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, it was a victorious payment of our sin. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justifies freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. Blessed be the prevailing King. He can conquer sin in your life today. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to Him by faith. Blessed be the perfect King. Blessed be the preeminent King. Blessed be the prevailing King. And then finally this morning, think about this for a moment. Blessed be the praiseworthy King. Blessed be the praiseworthy King. You say, "Preacher, where do you get that thought from?" Well, what about this? Jesus said, and let me paraphrase it. Jesus said, if you hold back on praise, the stones will step in your stead. If you hold back on praise, why, the stones will cry out. My point is, blessed be the praiseworthy King. What would the stones say, you ask? Imagine the testimony of stones. Imagine if stones had audible voices. And stones could speak out. And stones could tell the story. Have you ever wondered what they would say? You know, stones have been around as long as this earth has been around. Stones have been here. Stones, we know, are inanimate. But what if they could speak? Jesus said here in this passage of Scripture, if you hold your peace, the stones will cry out. You know, I can imagine in my mind what stones could say if they would speak. I certainly believe this. I believe the stones would speak of the one who is the Rock of Ages. I'm certain of that. I believe the stones would speak. They could tell of the one who ages ago called this world in existence, strung the beads of stars across the spans of space. The stones would verify, would say, oh yes, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. If stones could speak. The stones in the Garden of Eden, what would they say? I believe the stones that no doubt were decking the landscape of the Garden of Eden could tell of the time that Adam hid his face from God in shame. But God in mercy came down. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And God could reach down and God could reclaim and God could clothe Adam, because God's Son would one day bear Adam's sin upon the cross. If stones could speak, I believe the stones in the Garden of Eden would say, I heard God say, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Those stones are outlying the mountains of Moriah, the time that Abraham takes his son Isaac and takes him to that mountain. And Abraham is going to offer Isaac upon that mountain. If stones could speak, I believe the stones outlying that mountain would say, they could say, I heard Abraham say, God will provide himself a lamb. Those stones would say, I heard Isaac say, where is the lamb? They could say, I heard Abraham say, God will provide himself a lamb. If stones could speak. I believe the stones in the little town of Bethlehem could say, I was there when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I was there when He was placed in that cradle. I was there when the shepherds came. I was there when the wise men spoke. If stones could speak, their voices, if they had a voice, the voices would be joined in at that same time, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What about the stones on Calvary? The stones on Calvary's brow, they could say, I watched Him die, and I heard His cry. Those stones could say, I heard them say, crucify Him. I heard Him uttering those seven sayings. I heard Him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I heard Him say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I heard Him say, it's finished. I heard Him say, today Thou shalt be with me in paradise, if stones could speak. One great stone would say this, I was rolled away when the Son of God left the tomb. I was a big stone, I was nothing against the mighty power of God. That stone could say that. I was rolled away, And that stone, if it could speak, would say there was a reason for that. Because Jesus Christ could not be held. He came up from the dead. Up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph on His foes. If stones could speak. Another stone could say, I was a hiding place one time for a man named David. David hid among the rocks. Stones, if they could speak. Some could say, I'm sure. I represent the one who the church is built upon. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If stones could speak, they would also be saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Stones would be saying, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. If stones could speak. This morning, blessed be this praiseworthy King. Amen. I'm closing by saying this today. The one who visited the manger, vacated the tomb, and will one day return with the voice of the archangel. This preeminent King, this perfect King, this praiseworthy King is coming back. Blessed be the King that cometh. My hope today is in that. Thank God He's coming. I'm glad there's hope. I am thankful that our hope today is not built around what man says. But my friend, when God says it, you can believe it. That settles it. Blessed be the King that cometh. He could come any minute. Are you ready? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? It's impossible to say, blessed be the King, if you haven't honored the King by accepting Him as your Savior in your life. It begins right there. Then in closing, this King is a prevailing King. God knows wherever all of us are. He knows how much you hurt. He knows your sin issue. He knows how you've botched up your life. He knows how sin has disfigured you. But God can rearrange you and make you a new creature today. And you can leave this church service with praise in your soul and praise flowing from your lips saying, blessed be the King. And Christians, you and I ought to be saying that more too. Blessed be the King. You know what? We need to take our harps out of the willows and get off the banks of the river and take our harps out of the willows. And we ought to be praising this King more than what we are. I'm looking in the faces of people that's got issues going on in your life. You've got troubles. You've got health issues. You've got things that disturb you and things that trouble you. But my friend, the grace of God and the peace of God and the blessings of God far outweigh any negative thing that might be happening in our life. Just look what we have. Look where we're going. Look what we have in Jesus Christ. I say today, be saying, blessed be the King. Let that joy be seen in your life. Let that peace be resident in your countenance and live in light of the victory because He's a perfect King. He's a preeminent King. He is a prevailing King. And I'll tell you, He's a praiseworthy King. Let's bow our heads in prayer.